15. We're going to talk a little bit about some things in the church, what folks need to know. Most of you here know I tell my folks three goals that I have for the church. Is first of all, that you fall in love with Him. Fall in love with the Lord. Secondly, that you fall in love with His book.
Fall in love with the Word. Thirdly,
you just do your best. Check. It's not working. I wonder why. Are the power amps turned on? Everything? Oh, you had me turned down. Okay. I've had that happen before. Okay. Thirdly, is that you do the best you can to live like that book tells you to live. But we're going to talk about three other things this morning. 1 Timothy 1:15, the Bible says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And then Paul says, "Of whom I am chief." My. So there are three things that every man ought to know. First of all, every man should know that all men are sinners. That's who we are. We're born with that nature. All men are sinners. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's you and me, and that's everybody. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." That's the first place we take people, or I take people, when I deal with them about salvation. I let them know that the Bible says we're all a mess. We're all a mess. Brother Tilly used to tell us the story, Brother Mike, about the woman coming down for salvation, and the preacher said, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on this poor, vile creature." And she said, "I'm not that bad." He said, "Oh, Lord, it's worse than I thought." But that's kind of how it is. But we're all sinners. We've got that nature, and most of us know it. A few folks kind of miss out on that. There's an old saying among preachers, you can't get a man saved till you get him lost. He's got to understand his condition. Some refer to it as conviction. Got to come under conviction. It's repentance. That's when a man comes to himself, and not just repented himself like Judas, but repentance toward God. God has to be the object of your repentance. And there's a lot of different definitions of repentance across the church. You'll find some where it's that they make it a work. You know, you got to clean up in your life and all this before you repentance sets in. I like Dr. Harold Seiler said this, Brother Mike. He said, "I don't care what kind of repentance you have. If it's the kind that brought you to Calvary, it's the right kind." My. That's profound. That's the kind that repentance toward God. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they could do that in the Old Testament. They could do that first part. They could do the repentance toward God, but they'd never heard of Jesus Christ. They'd heard the prophecies. Well, say, well, how'd they get to heaven? You know what happened when the Lord, on that cross, went down in the heart of the earth, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, and the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He told that thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." All those Old Testament saints and all those folks who did what God told them to do, they end up in paradise. And the Lord shows up and He preaches to those spirits in prison. My. You know how they got to heaven? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They trusted in Christ. He completed that second part. Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. My. Isn't that exciting? My former pastor, Jack Grigsby, used to say, when the Lord showed up, said he presented His credentials. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I've been one. All those prophecies. Search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. All right. We know we're sinners. As it is written, none righteous, no, not one. That's you and me. That includes President Obama. That includes Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Donald Trump. That also included Ronald Reagan and Teddy Roosevelt. Sinners. All of us. That included Pope Paul, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, J. Edgar Hoover. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Elvis, Pretty Boy Floyd, sinners. Oprah, Willie Nelson. That may be a flash to my wife Joyce about Willie. Yeah. Abe Lincoln, Adolf Hitler, Bill Riley. Oh, I'm going to ruffle some feathers there. Tony Stewart, Johann Sebastian Bach. Sinners. Wow. Your preacher and your Sunday school teacher. Romans 3:12, the Bible says they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Fellow said, well, I'm not that bad. Yeah, you are. So am I. By the grace of God go I. There's nothing praiseworthy in my life outside of the grace of God. God's grace. Are you better than the Apostle Paul? He said he was chief sinner. You better man than he was? How about the prophet Isaiah? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Man, I'm undone. You better than he is? How about Job? Job said, I have sinned. Job 7:20, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? And then in Job 13:23, how many are mine iniquities and my sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Hey, you can't get out of your mess until you understand and realize that you're in a mess. How about Simon Peter? Luke 5, he falls down on his face, says, Luke 5:8, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What they have in common, they knew that they were a mess. So I said, well, I sure didn't know those guys were sinners. Yeah, they are. That's our nature. We're born with that nature. That's why the Lord said you've got to be born again. You must be born again. And, you know, me too. The Bible says in 1 John 1:18, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Uh-oh. All right. Now that we've established the fact scripturally that we're all a mess, we're all sinners, then what? Bible says in Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. My. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So even though, as the Bible calls it, we didn't sin in the similitude of Adam's transgression, we're born with that nature. Somewhere down the line, you're going to commit sin. And Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:13, it said, if a man looked to his righteousnesses, man, I've done a lot of good, and commit one iniquity. It says, for that one iniquity he shall perish, and all his righteousnesses will not be remembered. My, that's pretty tough, isn't it? No, it's just according to God. I said, well, man, Lord, that's kind of tough. One, but God made a way. He made a way out. We'll get to that here in a minute. Second thing needs to know, first of all, that we're sinners. That there's judgment to come. For as appointed a man wants to die, and after this, a judgment. So if we're sinners, then there's judgment to come. My. That's kind of scary. Should be. Matthew 12:36, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Wow. Said, preacher, you're scaring me. Good. I heard an old preacher say, I'd rather have it scared out of you than scorched out of you. Need to be scared. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the Bible says. It's also the beginning of wisdom. We've got a crowd today that's afraid to preach about the fear of God. They'll say, well, it's actually reverential trust. You'll think reverential trust. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I'm scared of Him. And I ain't scared of much. my wife and Maggie Hopping, yeah. Let me move on. I've got a bunch of warm and fuzzy messages and lessons that we can talk about. I'll save them for another day. And I knew Brother Mike could be with us today. I wanted to give him some hard stuff today. I don't know if he's learned how I mess with folks or not. I imagine he has. Book of Revelation. John, he's on the Isle of Patmos, and he says this. Revelation 20:11 said, "And I saw a great white throne." Why is it called the great white throne judgment? Because he says, "I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open." Plural, that's interesting. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Hey, I'm really not trying to scare you. Much. But here comes the good part. Understand you're a sinner. Understand that there's judgment to come. The good part is there's a Savior. There's a way out. God made a provision for your sin. You can't miss this part number three. You can't miss out on this. We'll go back to that first part of our text here in a minute. But 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation," our text here, "that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Wow. And I'm a sinner, so he came to seek and he came to save me. So he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's every sinner. So here's part three. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And you really don't have to pay for something that's already been paid for. When it comes to your debt as a sinner, the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ paid that debt. So the only way that you're going to have to pay for that is because you refuse to accept the Lord's payment for you in your place. His substitutionary debt. He died in my place for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the world. And he made a way out. John 3:15, 4, that whosoever, that's you or me or anybody, who's that? That's whosoever. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world that the world through him might be saved." Wow. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Hey, all you have to do is do what God says for you to do. If you take the cure that God lays out for you, if you'll take that offer, that free gift of salvation, if you'll receive it, the Bible says, "To as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God." You know what happens if you do that? You bypass that great white throne judgment. You're still judged, but you bypass that judgment for sin. Because Jesus Christ already took that judgment for sin. One old preacher used to say, talk about a pioneer family heading out west and the big grass fires heading toward him, big prairie fire. And he takes his family and he stands in and he lights a fire right where he's standing. As that fire starts to spread out, as soon as it gets burns out a ways, he and his family step right in the middle of it where it's already been burned out. That fire, way off here, that fire goes out and meets him and it never gets to that man. And it's saying, you know why? It's already been burned out. You know why sin can't touch me? Because it's already been burned out. Jesus Christ already took my place on the cross. Wow. I'm a sinner. Jesus is the Savior. Judgment to come. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Wow. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Man, that sounds too easy, don't it? Paul said, I fear lest any corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. We don't complement that free work of grace by being good. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says we're created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But we do that because we're saved, not to get saved, not to stay saved. Verily, verily, I send you, he that heareth my word. Don't the Bible say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? My. Well, I mean, he made it so simple that a child can understand it. Jesus said over there in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Wow. The Bible says there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's Jesus. The Bible says over there in 1 John 5, it says, and this is the record that God hath given unto us, around verse 10, 11, so, and this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. It's in a man. It's not in religion. It's not in your denominational title. It's not in your mode of baptism. I think man has to be baptized spiritually. For by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. When we baptize in water, we were going to do that today, and I think that's going to be called off because a heater kicked a breaker last night, and that water's cold as ice. Now, if you want to be baptized, you can go ahead and be baptized. Just, I won't do it. Jeremiah might go in there. Or usually we leave that to visiting evangelists when the heater don't work. But come now. Isaiah 180, come now, let us reason together. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Wow. What's it take to clean you up? It takes the blood of Christ to clean you up. And the Word of God will keep you clean. The washing of water by the Word. Stay in the book. You know what? I think one reason I like Brother Mike, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided. You know, he studies the book. I listed, I don't know if they did. They did the little story in the newspaper, too, on Tuesday. I don't know. All the different preachers you'd set under. B.P. Page and as a baby, B.R. Lakin and Dr. Lee Robert, all those folks. That's a lot of influences from godly, biblical men who knew the book. Went to Tennessee Temple. I took Dr. Robertson to the airport when he was out at Hoosier Hills Camp. I'd pick him up at the hotel, took him to breakfast airport. Man, I enjoyed that. Mark Cameron did the same with him. Wow. But he studies. He says, let us reason together. The man's got to figure this thing out for himself. That's when I take someone through salvation, I show them the book. I say, read. I take them to the verses, let them read them. You say, well, why do you do that? Well, one thing, I know that the Spirit's present in that word. The Lord said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I told our crowd here a few weeks ago, I read an article about some of the latest discoveries in quantum physics. Quantum physics takes things to their smallest degree and keeps breaking them down on the little side instead of the big side. And it talked about they were trying to figure out what held like in within an atom. And they break down that atom to the, is it protons, neutrons? And they couldn't figure out what held those things together. You know what they just discovered? What holds those protons and neutrons together? Light. Light. What's the first thing God created when he divided the waters from waters? He said, let there be light. Wow. That's what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. He holds it all together. By him all things consist. Wow. Science once in a while catches up with the Bible. I'm talking about true science. There's a lot of science falsely so-called out there. How'd I get on that? All right. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. Wow. Hey, that judgment for sin in the Bible was talking about, you know, that great white throne where you're judged for every idle word. Man, I don't want that. I don't want to have to give account. I don't want justice. I can't handle justice. I need mercy. If, you know, Jesus Christ took my place on the cross. All that judgment that should have landed on me, landed on the back of my precious Savior, Jesus Christ. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. My righteousness is not in me. In fact, this body of flesh is still subject to sin because it hasn't been redeemed yet. Paul said one day he will change our vile bodies. But my soul, my spirit has been renewed. My soul has been redeemed. I became a new creature in Christ the moment I trusted Jesus Christ, and my life is hid in Christ with God. My. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He willingly died in your place for your sins, for my sins. So why do we put it off? Why do we wait? Jimmy Hood, we just lost Jimmy Hood about 6 weeks ago. Jimmy the Hood. Unshackled program called him Jimmy the Hood, an old Columbus, Ohio gangster that got gloriously saved. Been pastoring a church and a mission in inner city Columbus, Ohio for many years. He was my friend. I didn't even find out they buried him until about 2 weeks later. But what a testimony he was. And the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Jimmy Hood came to himself. He had been in and out of jail, facing a lot of jail time, and God saved him. He got in. A lot of you folks will put it off and put it off. What was it, the message Jonathan Edwards taught? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Talk about that verse where if your foot slide and you're just like, it's almost like one foot on a banana peel and the other foot in hell, you know. Why do you put that off? There's judgment to come. I don't want to face that. The Lord took that judgment for sin in my place. I wouldn't have a chance. God start playing a DVD. It may be a little more advanced than that. A DVD of my secret life. You've got one too. Every thought, every idle word, man, wouldn't be long. Say, guilty. Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty, guilty, guilty. I've got it coming to me, Lord. I don't want to have to do that. Jesus told his disciples that when he went away, that he would send unto them a comforter. Holy Spirit. It's called the Comforter. It's called the Spirit of Christ. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ. It's all the same. Some folks try to separate it. But if you run those verses and cross-check it, it's that same Spirit of God. And when He is come, the Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We're sinners. There's judgment to come. That righteousness, that's Jesus Christ. 'Tis righteousness. You know, one of the reasons I got saved is because I had Sunday school teachers that taught those Ten Commandments. And I began to see God. God began to reveal Himself in those thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, blah, blah, blah. And I said, man, God began to reveal that He was holy. And a lot of those things that God said about Himself, I didn't have. And the goodness of God led me to repentance. I began to see myself in relationship to His holiness And I fell short. My. We're sinners. Jesus is the Savior and there's judgment to come. That same Holy Spirit of God still convicting the world of sin. A lot of folks shut him out. That conscience, you're born with a conscience. Every man's born with a conscience. Every man's born with two witnesses. First, the witness of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. Day and day, I'm speaking night and night. There's no place, language for you where his voice isn't heard. God reveals himself. Man will come to him, but oh, man, look at all this. Man, that's pretty cool. There's got to be something bigger and higher than I am. Man honestly seeks God. God then will reveal himself. God gives every man a conscience. Those without the law, if they do by nature the things contained in the law, what they do with Cornelius? Send him to a man to give him the gospel. How about that Old Testament fellow that did everything God told him to do, lived by his conscience, followed it, and from a true heart trusted, tried to do God, work righteousness like Cornelius did in the New Testament. Tried to do right. Well, the Bible says Abraham's the father of us all. Jews and Gentiles. So it appears to me that Old Testament fellow out in the bush, who wasn't a Jew, didn't have the law, but he did by nature the best he knew how, the things contained in the law, he ended up in Abraham's bosom the same way. That makes sense, right? You know, we have a just God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All right, let me move on. I don't want to get too doctrinal here. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. So what are you going to do about it? This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Folks do not have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. Your neighbors don't have to go to hell. All those politicians, they don't have to go to hell. Now, it's a free country. You can go to hell if you want to, but you don't have to because God made a way. Well, I had a fellow tell me one time, Brother Mike said, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those born-again types. The Lord's the one told Nicodemus had to be born again. I'm not one of them, yeah. I'm not very religious, but I'm very spiritual. I had a girl tell me that in college one time. She's about as spiritual as a house cat. A little cross around her neck. I'm very spiritual. No, you're not. Oh, yeah. But I fear. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You're a sinner. Jesus is the Savior. There's judgment to come. I brought up Jimmy Hood a while ago. He said, and he did so much street preaching throughout his lifetime. He said one thing that he'd like to always leave with folks. He'd say, hell's hot. Heaven's real. You know. And there's judgment to come. He said, if you could leave it with people that there's, if you're going to leave a skeptic or an agnostic or something with one thing, try to leave them with judgment. There's judgment coming. It's appointed man wants to die after this judgment. You get a man studying about that a while. Wow. You got to plant a seed somewhere. And one of the first places, a good place to go, is the fact that they're going to be judged for every thought. Every thought. Every idle word. John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My. This matter of believing up there where he said, John 11:26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Been dealing with a fellow about this believing, and he's one of those that you prove it to me, I'll believe it. You ever run into those folks? Sam Johnson from years ago finally got saved, but his dad was Jewish. He had that normal skepticism and a bit agnosticism toward God. And he said, "Well, you part the Red Sea in front of me. Yeah, I believe. God don't work that way." Over there in John 6, down around verse 68, 69, somewhere, he says, he'd asked the disciples who they said he was. And he said, "We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ." Wow. You know what came first? Belief. What came next? The assurance. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You try to make God prove himself to you, it ain't going to happen, because the just shall live by faith. He says, now, if you believe me, if you step out by faith and believe, then guess what? I'll prove it to you. I'll give you the assurance. That's hard to do. That's hard for a man to do. Hard for a fellow in America to do. Oh, you got to prove it to me. No, he don't. God don't have to prove it. I've got a cousin. He's dealing with this now. Real smart, graduated from the University of Miami, been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize in journalism, was a photographer for the Miami Herald for 40-something years. They've got his work in a big museum thing in Miami, Florida. He was on the evening news when he retired. They did about an 8-minute segment on his career. He was in Jonestown, Guyana, when that James Jones killed all those people. So now he's trying to find God after been telling him all these years. It takes faith. And he's studying this out and studying this. I says, his name's Tim. I said, "Tim, if you try to make God prove it to you, he won't waste his time with you. You got to step into that book by faith." That's where all the Bible critics kind of lose it along the line, the apologetic. You know, God says, "You believe me, and then I'll prove it to you." We believe and are sure. You know, when I talk to folks about giving, and I don't preach on that much, I think I've got a people have such bad taste in their mouth from all the TV preachers always begging for money, so I don't preach on that much. But the Lord says, "Prove me herewith." The context of giving over there in Malachi says, "Prove me herewith. You try him out. You prove me herewith and see." Said, "You try me out. Prove me herewith and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing there's not room enough to receive." Hey, that works in every area of the Christian walk. You try him out. Experiment with him. I tell folks, "Well, I can't afford it." I said, "Experiment with God a little bit." I don't get mad at him. I said, "Try him out. Try him out. Prove me herewith and see." So we believe, and then he gives us the assurance. Bible says, neither is there, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. He said, "I am the way," not a way. "All that the Father giveth me, the Lord said, shall come to me," John 6:37, "and him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out." Why would he refuse you after what he did? You come to him on his terms, he won't refuse you. You come up with your own plan of salvation, you don't have a chance. You follow God's plan of salvation. Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He won't refuse you. "For whosoever," Romans 10:13, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We're sinners. Jesus is a Savior. And there's judgment to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that free gift of salvation. Lord, we pray if there's any within hearing, Lord, that has that conviction in their heart, that they know that they're a mess. They believe your word, that we're sinners, Lord. And pray that conviction would lead them to come to you, Lord, the best way they know how, by simple faith. And ask that you be merciful to them, a sinner, Lord, the same way that I ask for you to be merciful to me, a sinner, Lord. Thank you for that blessed hope. Thank you for that precious blood on the cross. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your preachers. Thank you for your people, Lord, who have braved the ice and the cold this morning and come to church to be in the house of God. Thank you for them, Lord. Bless them. Bless each house represented here. Be with us through the worship service and be with Brother Mike, Lord, my friend, and I love him and pray you just hold him up by the power of your might and fill him with the Spirit of God this morning and help us, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.